you ever wondered why we refer to the day Christ died as Good Friday? Seems somewhat strange, doesn't it? I mean, Friday is the day that he who was celebrated had become despised. He who was innocent was punished like the guilty. He who was the lion was slaughtered like a lamb. That doesn't seem good. And consider the Pharisees and their motives. For them, it was a premeditated murder, though it was actually a predestined sacrifice. They thought they were taking his life, though he was in fact surrendering it. Death was their goal, yet life was the outcome. Because God had other plans, he made one day affect all of eternity. He turned the wounds of one into healing for many. He transformed our worst acts of hate into the greatest expression of love. So that at the cross, we can hand over our sins in exchange for righteousness. We can lay down our burdens and pick up freedom. We can come broken, yet leave restored. The enemy thought it was going to be a bad day. We now call it good. And though we all thought it was the end, it was actually just the beginning. It seems God has a way of rescuing us from ourselves and flipping things around. Maybe that's why we call it Good Friday.
Good morning, and it's wonderful to be here together and again to celebrate our Easter Sunday coming from Good Friday to this victorious, to the celebratory Sunday, even though we're not together, but again, engaging each other in worship in spirit and in joy. I want to begin by saying, He is risen. He is risen indeed. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that He is alive and living in us. And as we begin, I want to begin to ask you, what would you be thinking that first Easter morning? What would your thoughts, what would your feelings, how would you be engaging that morning after Good Friday? We have walked through with the disciples of that Good Friday that Jesus had just experienced. The betrayal, the lies, the humiliation, the beatings, and the whippings. Being an innocent prisoner, being sentenced to death. What would you be thinking? The soldiers, how they mocked him by dressing him and kneeling before him and shouting, "Hail, the King of Jews!" Seeing Jesus carry his cross to his death. People spinning and mocking him. People that just praised him just a few days ago. What would you be thinking? As they laid him down and put nails through his hands and feet, as he suffered to take each breath, hearing Jesus yell out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus breathes his last breath. The earth shakes and the rocks split in two. He's gone. He's dead. What would you be thinking? There's no hope. It's the end. Our Savior is dead. That's what we would be thinking. Come and follow along with me in John 19, verses 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. What would they be thinking and feeling? What would the disciples be thinking? Many scattered. Peter denied knowing him. No hope, no joy. Now just suffering and pain and sadness and fear. The Savior's dead. But is there no hope? Is there no joy? Matthew 28, verses 1 to 7. Follow along with me. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolling back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were like white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." What are they thinking? What would you be thinking? Let's pause for a moment and move to that very dark day, to a day that's glorious. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Take a moment. What would you be thinking? What one word would you share or respond with? Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's excitement or joy or glory to God in the highest. Let's see a response in Matthew 28, verses 8 to 10. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, collapsed his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see him." Not only have they seen an angel and seen that Jesus was out of the tomb, now Jesus has revealed himself to them. What would they be thinking? What would you be thinking? What would you do? We continue in John 20. 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." What would you be thinking? You now are in a room, worried and concerned, afraid, fearful, because of all that had happened. And now all of a sudden, Jesus appears before you. He shows you his wounds. What would you be thinking? I would be thinking, after seeing the empty tomb, seeing Jesus after his resurrection, I'd be believing. As we walk through the Easter story, we've caught a glimpse into what they may have been thinking on that magnificent day. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came to rescue us. Savior literally means rescuer. He first came to save us from our old self. Romans 6, verse 6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. It is leaving the old life behind." Secondly, Jesus came to give life. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Here, it talks about a new beginning. To have that new beginning, we need a Savior. He has come to rescue us from our old life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Praise the Lord, praise Jesus, right? For he is alive." Lastly, Jesus came to have life beyond this life, a great future. A verse we know well, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The day Jesus conquered death and gave the gift of a new life, a life of hope, joy, love, peace, and much, much more to anyone who would believe. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, the days of thinking that there is no hope, that there's no joy, that there's no peace, that there's no forgiveness are over. Why? Because he has risen, right? He is risen indeed. We don't have the ability to experience firsthand what had happened on that first Easter morning. But we can come to Jesus by faith. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is a free gift, a gift that anyone who believes can receive. I want to conclude by doing communion together and listening to a video, a worship song. It's called "I Can Only Imagine." And this song helps us to give a glimpse of being in heaven with Jesus. I want to walk through, as we have walked through this Holy Week and we have taken a moment to pause to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, let's come to a time of communion. The Lord said on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I break this bread, and I come and give a prayer of thanksgiving. God, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you for the brutal pain, the suffering, the mocking, all that you endured that day to give us new life. We take this bread in remembrance of you. Amen." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. I take this cup and I come and give a prayer of thanksgiving." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the shedding of your blood and the cleansing of our sins that we receive, the sanctification, Lord, that we receive through your sacrifice on the cross, to come and be where we are now because of your sacrifice. We say thank you, and we remember you on the cross, shedding your blood for us. We now take this cup in remembrance. Amen. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Take a few minutes and listen to this worship song.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah. surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by, I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I've seen the video of that song, and it's one of my favorites, but I love the final scenery of the sun up in the sky in the clouds, so bright, and it just truly represents Jesus in his glory. And it really, again, reflects that resurrection Sunday of him rising from the dead, being in his glory, and again, just having victory, being alive for the sole purpose for us to have life. We've taken time to look back and think about what it would have been like to be there on that glorious day. What would we have been thinking? But where am I truly thinking? What am I truly thinking about as it comes to this new life that Jesus has given us? And what would it be like to be in his presence? But until that day, what do I know? Not what I'm thinking, but what do I know? I know that I have hope. I know that I have love. I know that I have joy and peace to share with those around me. Why? Because Jesus is alive. I pray that as you walk through this Sunday morning, this Easter morning, this resurrection morning, you have been richly blessed. And may you enjoy just the rest of the day. Let's close off in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come and we give thanks again for all that you have done. For the life that you offer us. Through, Father, the giving of your Son, the power that you have over the grave, and that Jesus lives. You have given us so much. And may, Father, we take what we have been given, what we have received, Father, what we believe in, and allow that light to shine within us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.